Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to violence.
Welcome to Lost in the Static.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Josh. How you doing?
I'm not doing well. Too great. You know that. We were talking before the show, so I'm having one of those days.
Yeah, neither one of us are having very good days, to be honest, but hey, we're still here. We're here for the entertainment of the people.
God damn it, we're dedicated to our... Can it be called a job if we don't get paid?
No.
Okay. Our work?
Our... What? Our art.
Okay, now you're just being stupid.
No, it's art. I mean, you've always heard of the starving artist. Well, that's what we are.
Almost literally.
Yeah.
But, hey, you know what one place would be really funny if someone hacked your account and went and did something at?
Where?
AdamandEve.com.
Really?
If they went and hacked your account, went to AdamandEve.com and used the promo code STATIC, they'd get 50% off of a single item, 3 free DVDs, free U.S. shipping, and a free mystery gift all sent to their house.
And if they were able to, you know, they could order like 300 love yous or something like that. The inflatable love sheep.
Why would you need more than one?
Variety is the spice of life.
Maybe. But tonight's topic, hackers and computer security. We're still on this computer nonsense.
Yes, we're still on the computer nonsense. And once computers all got networked together and commerce moved online, hackers took on a whole different meaning. But let's start with the original meaning of hackers. Are you familiar with the original meaning of hackers?
Well, before we go into that, should we define the pop culture definition of a hacker because in the legal and within the computer sciences area, a hacker is not what it's thought of in pop culture.
Right. That's what I'm talking about. Back in the term to hack actually comes about from the 1940s. It's a World War II. Yeah, get that pop open.
I was trying to be as quiet as I could.
You never are, ever.
Whoa. Did you just say pop?
Yes.
Soda.
Pop.
Soda.
Pop.
Just talk.
But it actually comes out of World War II, and it was a way for soldiers and stuff like that, in order, if they took something that had one intended use and either modified it or used it to modify another product to have another type of use, then it was hacked. And it came out of really the Air Corps, the flyers of World War II, because planes were shot a lot.
In wartime? Yeah. No way.
Yeah, in wartime, believe it or not, planes were shot quite often. And so you would have to, you know, if something busted and you needed it in order to get home, you would have to hack yourself a new use. And computer engineers adopted the term. And basically hacking was taking something that was intended for one thing and using it for a new use in a modified way for something else.
Well, because like the pop culture definition is basically, you know, like that fast typing and I'm through their firewall and all that, you know, and they're stealing computer secrets and they're breaking into your computer and they're hurting your computer network. And that's not a hacker.
No.
That's a cracker. There's a difference.
No.
Because a hacker is somebody who wants information. They want to go in there. They want to look around. Maybe they'll copy all your files for their own use. But a true hacker will not go and take anything or damage anything maliciously.
That's kind of when it comes to there are black hats and there are white hats. And white hats are the guys that go to the bank and say, hey, we can break your security. And once we do, we'll tell you how and blah, blah, blah. And we'll leave everything alone. And what you were talking about, what you called a true hacker. That's a classic term of hacker, and that's generally what people thought. But then there are black hat hackers, which are
criminals, basically.
Or criminals, basically. I mean, when you really think about it, they're info terrorists. Woo!
Which is very topical now with with everything that's going on with WikiLeaks and
WikiLeaks and Verizon and the fact that I have no idea why Obama would want to listen to my cell phone conversations. They're really quite boring, but he could apparently, and somebody at the NSA has
not
been,
could has
has somebody at the NSA has and meh, what do you do? You know, well,
I get angry, is
what you do, but. Nowadays, the terms when people think of hackers, they think of that black hat hacker and the movie hacker, like you were said, with the fast typing. And I've got to get through there.
We're going
to
talk about movie.
Yeah, we'll get there. But so that's what a cracker, on the other hand, aside from being a Southern white person, which
no, this is the alternate meaning.
Right. In information technology terms, a cracker is someone that destroys security. Not just finds a way through it, not just finds a way
into
it.
They're there to cause destruction and wreck shit.
Yes, they are there to wreck shit.
And unfortunately, from all the books I've read and the articles I've read and whatnot, those are the people that get the FBI all worked up, so the people that are just like Kevin Mitnick's get lumped in with them, unfortunately. Yeah,
unfortunately. And most of the crackers today are out to get themselves a name, either in the information
they
security.
They want to get famous.
Yeah, either in the information security world or to get recognized by the U.S. government because, you know... Every cracker in the back of their mind, and I don't care who they are, every single one of them has had the thought of, you know, if I'm discovered and if they really find me, I better be good enough that they decide to hire me instead of throw me in jail.
Yeah, and that happens how often? Very, very rarely. Yeah,
not very often.
We've moved past the Project Paperclip where we're going to hire the Nazi scientist just, you know, because.
Right. Now, there is another in that community that doesn't exist so much anymore, but they are kind of out there, mainly playing with voice over IP now, and that's a freaker. And that's freaker with a PH.
Yes. Which I guess phone freaking is not really as big of a thing now with free cell. I mean, you don't really need to phone freak anymore.
Well, you don't really need to phone freak anymore. And the phone company's technology kind of caught up. It's no longer analog switches that rely on tones and stuff like that. Black boxes, red boxes, blue boxes don't work anymore.
One of the reasons that the technology caught up is like what you said. They hired the people who used to break through their security.
Yes.
Or that was part of their plea deals when they did get caught is you're going to show them how you did it and how to stop the next guy that's going to do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now when it comes to freaking and stuff like that, Wi-Fi is the target because you've got Wi-Fi at Starbucks, which is free and available for use and that's kind of nice, but why go to Starbucks when I can just go over to my neighbor Dave's, and Dave's got this Wi-Fi and it's password protected. But
well, and but see,
I want to break that.
When you come to that, that's when you get into the real disgusting underground that no one talks about with the Wi-Fi freaking, and that's child porn. You take your laptop, you find some neighborhood with an encrypted IP. You break through it, you download child porn on their IP address, and then if it gets tracked, it's going to their house.
Yeah.
And it looks like they downloaded child porn.
Yep.
That I read something in Time recently about that's the big new thing that child porn people are doing is they're using other people's IPs to hide their child porn. And you know I will never sit still for the sexualization of children.
No.
So that shit, no joking, that shit has got to be stopped.
Now,
okay, you are not some highfalutin member of the freaking community. You're a fucking piece of shit that does that.
I have thrown my laptop into my car, and I built a little booster antenna, basically, that I plug into my laptop via USB and throw the magnet on top of the car. And I have driven around neighborhoods, and I've done what's called war driving, which is basically driving around, collecting as much information that's flying through the air via Wi-Fi, looking for open Wi-Fi spots, looking for unsecured or badly secured Wi-Fi spots at people's houses, just to see what's out there. And it's amazing what I've been able to collect. Amazing what I mean, shopping histories and internet histories and
see, that's the thing that most hackers do. They just want information.
Right.
They want it. They're not going to do anything with it. They're not going to steal your credit card. Most of them, I'm saying, will not steal your credit card numbers. They're not going to break into your computer. They want information. Like back in the days when the Legion of Doom and that kept breaking into the AT&T and all that, they were doing that to know how all this worked. They weren't in there fucking with files. They weren't moving shit around. They were breaking in, copying it all, and putting it out there for the competition. In a way, I mean, it was kind of malicious. They were kind of trying to start a competition war, but they weren't actually doing anything. I mean, they did break through. But something that a lot of people don't understand about hacking is it's a lot less like you see in the movies with the keyboard. It's a lot more social engineering, isn't it?
There's a lot of social engineering to it. And for those that aren't familiar with the term social engineering, that's, let's say I get information.
It's basically personal manipulation, really.
Kind of sort. Let's say I get information about XYZ Corporation, whatever they happen to do. And I decide to give them a call and say, hey, this is Dave up in accounting. And I have locked myself out of, you know, our accounting software. I don't know what happened, and I can't get my password to reset. Could you help me?
Yeah, you basically trick some innocent person into letting you into the system,
or at least giving you guidelines. I've called. I'm going to get in trouble for this episode. I have called corporations.
Well, it depends on what the statute of limitations
right.
is. Right. Really.
This back in the day. I've been known to, you know, back high school days and stuff like that. I've been known to call corporations and
when he had hair.
Yeah. And do exactly that. Hey, I've locked myself out of my account. What do I need to do to get in here? Well, have you tried using the password reset link? Yeah, I did that and it doesn't like my password. What's going on? Well, are you sure that your password has at least one capital letters, is at least 8 letters long and has one
number.
Oh, that was the problem. Thank you. Boom. I've got a set that I can work with that I can start, you know, I can hide a laptop in the corner or something and just let it run. Or back in the day, hide a, you know, have my second computer box just running breaking software looking for a working password. And I've got a pattern to follow.
And see, that's the thing. I mean, Kevin Mitnick outright said in an interview, and we'll talk about Kevin Mitnick, who he is, in a minute. He said in an interview, really, 90% of the hacking he did was hacking people's brains. It
yes.
was social engineering. Only 10% of the, in quotes, hacking that he was convicted of was actually done on a computer.
Yep.
Most of it was manipulating people into giving up passwords, giving up code numbers, giving up ID numbers, giving up something that would allow him to get in.
Yeah, and I don't care if you're in an IT department at a company, you already know this, but you can set up the strongest firewalls, you can set up the strongest password requirements, and you can do all of this for your company. You can take all the steps and do what's called behavior heuristics or behavior analysis and look for the weird stuff that's happening. But the weakest link in any security system, any information security system, is the human beings. And it's because the people that need the highest security, you know, the CEO, the CIO, and all of the three-letter acronyms with the possible exception of the IT dude that's up there, they're all old white guys. And, you know, they don't really, I don't want to fart around with a password. I'm rich. My password is 12345, the same as that's on my luggage.
Oh, you know, sure? You sure your password's not password?
That happens all the time, but luckily most computer systems will catch that and go, no, can't be bad, you know.
I believe I read somewhere that God is the most common password ever used.
Love. Actually,
love,
love,
okay,
love, anniversary dates, birth dates of your children, some combination of your wife or husband's name along with your anniversary date is common, or their birthdays. if a number is required. It used to be that love, password, God, and the person's first name. Those were the four most common passwords at one
point. And see, okay, I understand password encryption. I understand making it difficult. Do you remember back when we worked at Channel 26, how ridiculous they got? It had to have every other letter was a capital, and then every third letter, every third space had to be a number, and then you had to do this, and then there had to be a symbol in there. And it's like, Jesus fucking, I'm ever going to remember this. You know, like, my password is capital N, lowercase g, 5.9489BGIS. Q. It's like, yeah, I'm going to remember this, right?
Well, there's those, and then I especially love the fact that we had to change them every, 15 or 30 days? I think it was every month.
And
it couldn't be the same as any of your five in the previous.
Yeah. It's like, Jesus, I'm going to have to carry like a little fucking business card just with whatever this month's password is.
Yeah,
this is ridiculous.
You know, at one point, I think mine was capital PA55W3RD.
Yeah, and you go, yeah, because I'm just supposed to remember this, right? And because they were a shared network, you couldn't do that remember password thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to type it in. It's like this is fuck. You really can't just let me put in something that I choose?
But I'll tell you, the best way to hack that network, and this is the best way to hack networks at work, if you've got a shared space like cubicles or something, and cubicles are great because people think that their little cubicle is their own little world.
So it is while they're there.
Right. And so you wait for a day that they call in sick or something like that, and you walk up to their computer, turn it on, and they use that, you know, save this password deal. And you'd be amazed at how many times I'd walk up to a communally accessible terminal or computer at a workplace.
At 26, it always did that thing. If this is a community terminal, right. Are you sure you want to sit? So you just go, I accidentally clicked that. Thank you.
However, you'd be amazed how many times I would walk up, especially the reporters that had their own desk that nobody else really used. Or the anchors.
I had my own little spot, remember, at the assignment desk because I always left my computer locked.
Yeah.
So nobody else could take my computer. Right. I always used the same computer.
But other people use that computer too.
Yeah, they would shut the fucking thing down on me. Exactly. Damn it. I had a game saved or something on that.
But if you walk up to, say, the anchor's desk, all of his and or her passwords were saved.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one of them.
Yep.
And I loved that.
But let's talk a little bit about Kevin Mitnick.
Sure.
Because I think he's the most famous hacker that the pop culture might recognize the name of.
Well, him and Acid Burn and...
Those are movie hackers. Yeah, I know. Talk about movies in a little bit.
I know.
Zero Cool and Acid Burn are coming.
There we go.
And Serial Killer. Actually, I was just recently invited to the Projection Booth episode on hackers. We're going to be recording that next
month.
Lord
Nikon.
But... Kevin Mitnick, basically, well, he was railroaded, really. I mean, the FBI tried to place in court that Kevin Mitnick was so dangerous that he had to be kept in an isolation cell because he possibly, they actually argued this in court, if he had access to a telephone, he might be able to hack into NORAD and launch nuclear missiles.
And believe it
but you just kind of go, this is what, 89, early 90s? You go, what do you think a hacker can do?
Here's the scary thing. Up until the mid 90s, that was possible.
But yeah, from prison, Kevin Mitnick's going to be able to use a dial phone
right.
to dial into NORAD.
Right.
Come on, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree, but...
It was just showed just how far the FBI was overreaching and how little they understood. Basically, Kevin Mitnick broke into AT&T and some of the other phone systems, grabbed a bunch of their stuff, and was he the one that actually deleted one of their files that it cost him a whole bunch of money in California? It was either him or one of the Legion of Doom guys that did it.
Yeah, Mitnick did two things, and everybody, you know, back in the day you saw Free Kevin Mitnick and everything like that. No, I will tell you this now. Mitnick was guilty of crimes.
Oh, absolutely. His hackers technically all are. Right.
His punishment far outweighed the crimes that he did.
Oh, the FBI wanted to make a point.
Right.
Mitnick was, this is what's going to happen to you fuckers if you keep it up.
Yes. But Mitnick, number one, he caused, through the deletion of files and through the manipulation of phone lines and billing software, I believe.
I think he actually claimed in court he fucked up. He was just trying to copy the software, right, accidentally deleted it,
and he
moved it and it fucked everything up.
But through the manipulation of billing software and the actual phone system itself, he cost AT&T a bunch of money back when they were Ma Bell.
Yes, they had not been broken up yet.
Right. Also, after that, I think it was actually MCI that nailed him. One of the other companies that's actually not around anymore are the ones that discovered him and traced him back, ironically. But then his real crime and what really got the FBI's attention was he took this information that he had gained and he published it.
He had one of the major failings that most hackers do. They brag about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're only as big as your last score. You know, it's kind of like a gangsta. You're only as big. Hey, look what I was able to do. Oh, yeah? Well, look what I was able to do.
And that's still true. But
it's still stupid. Criminals do that. But in a way, yeah, he got himself absolutely caught. But like you said, his sentence far exceeded that. He wasn't actually sentenced to what they wanted, thankfully. Go watch the documentary Freedom Downtime.
Look, what they wanted was Mitnick in a little 8x10 with no windows.
For the rest of his life.
For the rest of his life. And luckily, he is out now. He is running a very, very profitable internet security firm. Yeah,
and unfortunately, part of his deal when he got out was, I think it was like the first 9 years he was free, he had to work against all his former friends. And it was, you're going to help us catch all these guys or you will spend the rest of your life in prison.
Right.
So in a way, he became the villain in sort of a way, you know?
Yeah, but you can't really blame him all that much. I mean,
no, I'm just saying, you know, in a way, you're now hunting all your former friends.
Yeah. But yeah, there you go. But yeah, he's very well known. He was an example. Unfortunately, he was made an example of. But he's out now, and he's doing okay.
Well, should we also talk about Operation Sun Devil? You remember Operation Sun Devil, don't you?
Kind of, sort of. Please fill in the audience.
Operation Sun Devil basically was the FBI, for years, collating all this information on hackers, and I'm putting that word in quotes because they're so far off once I get to the details of this, on hackers. The FBI actually raided the headquarters of Steve Jackson Games, the role-playing game company, because they said their book Cyberpunk, the role-playing game Cyberpunk, was a how-to guide on to hack real-world computers. So all of a sudden, Steve Jackson employees show up one day, find the door padlocked shut, and a dozen agents stealing all their files.
Yep.
And then, to make matters worse, even by the agency's own rules and U.S. law, they had to only copy those files and give the originals back to Steve Jackson.
Yep.
They didn't. They were lost in transit. So Jackson lost everything they'd been working on that year. And they didn't just take Cyberpunk. Anything that was related to cyber. Basically, Steve Jackson, they basically said, we're going to put you out of business because you're making a game out of this.
Yeah, it's a perfect argument for cloud backup. It really.
This was the 90s.
I know. But just in modern terms, it's remember what happened to Steve Jackson Games? It could happen to you.
But Operation Sun Devil was one of those examples of the government not having a fucking, right. They had no clue what they were looking for.
Now, yeah, what the government went after and found is the scourge of the hacker community. Now, the hacker community today, they've kind of, you've kind of turned it into something like Maker Faire, where we're back into the real, you know, the cool hacking today is the real world hacking and stuff you can do with 3D printers. You know, that's today's hacking that's fun. But, oh, where was I going with this?
I don't know. I didn't interrupt you.
I know. My brain just completely...
His brain got hacked.
It did. It must have.
All right,
but,
then...
But back... Okay. The scourge of the hacking community, that's what I was going after, became real popular in the 90s, and once people kind of discovered Unix and Perl and stuff, and that Script Kiddies, K-I-D-D-I-E-S, Script Kiddies, which is go out on, you know, your leet, uber leet hacking community website, download your script, and then go run it on some hapless machine that hasn't protected against it yet. And, ooh, all of a sudden you're an uber leet hacker. H-A-X-O-R, you know, or H-A-X-0-R-Z, you know, uber leet hacksor.
Well, because to me, the scourge is the people who are malicious. Somebody like... And yes, I'm going to say it, Anonymous. They do far more harm than they do good. Every time they break like a Steubenville rape case, otherwise they're just breaking into shit and fucking people up who say something bad about Anonymous.
And that's the weird thing about Anonymous. I mean, Anonymous has true and legit hackers in it, because all you have
most
to do...
Most of them seem to be the equivalent of thugs.
Yeah, all you have to do is say, I am part of Anonymous, I am doing this in the name of Anonymous. They're completely unorganized, have no leadership or anything like that. They just exist and communicate through sites like 4chan. Not so much 4chan anymore, because that is gone to hell, frankly. But frankly, what? Oh, you're playing with my
cat.
I'm
playing with your cat.
I'm trying to play with my cat.
Yes, I'm playing with your cat.
Yes. But anyway, the deal with Anonymous is all you have to do is say you're an Anonymous. And it's a cred thing. So, you know, some kid who discovers his script abilities or anything like that comes up and goes, ah, I'm part of Anonymous and I'm doing this in the name of Anonymous. And to tell you the truth, the true hacker elite that is out there now do work for Anonymous. They do the stuff like breaking Steubenville rape cases, and they do the good work. And frankly, they find idiots like the Script Kiddies who want to take credit and shit like that, or, you know, disguise their voice and send a YouTube message to the U.S. government telling them that Anonymous is going to overthrow them or whatever. It's they're annoying. But they're necessary, because if you keep it unorganized,
I also think they're thugs.
Yeah, there are a lot of thugs out there too. That, oh, you know, we found video of this guy telling, and you know, saying that Anonymous is stupid. Let's go kill him. You know, let's go informationally at least kill him. And
well,
because
there was an article in a magazine recently. I don't know if it's online or because I read it in print. Might have been a Wired issue, but the reporter was following around one of the quote unquote leaders of Anonymous, you know, one of their higher up, even though they're unorganized, one of the well known. Yeah, one of the guys who's kind of a shot caller, if
right.
anything else. And he was the way the reporter put him, a complete sociopath. That it was, I don't care who I hurt. If you get in my way, or if I take a disliking to you, I will destroy your life and then just go and have some dinner and play a video game. I do not care whatsoever. And he said this guy was a complete and utter sociopath who had no human emotions whatsoever. That, to me, is the dangerous hacker.
That's a dangerous human, period.
You know, that to me, that made me go, somebody needs to stop that. This guy has way too much power and absolutely no morality on how to use it.
And again, that's a dangerous human, period. He could be a member of Anonymous, he could be driving a car, it doesn't matter. That's a dangerous way of thinking.
That's a serial killer that might not actually kill people.
Exactly.
But let's also talk a little bit about Hollywood.
Who get it right every time.
Hollywood, you know what? I hate to say, one of the most historically inaccurate movies I've ever seen is probably the most technically accurate when it comes to portraying hackers. Does that make any sense?
Enemy of the State, The Net, Hackers. Which one? I was
Takedown.
Swordfish. Oh, Takedown. Yeah, that's a good one.
Takedown with Skeet Ulrich. No, I mean, they actually show real hacking techniques, yes. real things, how yes. they actually did it, real jargon in its correct usage.
Yes.
Problem is, the entire story of the capture of Kevin Mitnick is all fucking fiction. So that's why it's both the most realistic fictional movie on hackers and the most unrealistic simultaneously. How do you do that?
Like that, apparently. That's just the way life goes with Hollywood. Real hacking at its core is boring.
Yeah,
for the non-initiated, for those that can't follow the code of what's going on, can't follow, you know, even the social engineering or anything like that, real hacking is boring.
It's basically you do something and then you sit back and eat Doritos while the computer does whatever you just told it to do.
Exactly. Or in my case, you put an antenna on top of your car and go drive around while the laptop compiles crap.
It's not like you see in the movies where I always love it on NCIS where you got two people typing on the same keyboard. They each take half. That's just so fucking funny.
I know.
And they're just randomly typing keys and they're just every now and then they'll move a mouse and then they're like, oh my God, they're tracking me. Oh, I'm through their firewall. Oh, they got a bot on me. I'm just going, oh my God, writers, are you just? Are you playing Pac-Man with this? What are you doing? Or even better, like in Hackers, remember when they were like Pac-Man?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone would break through the system, and then he'd have like a little dum-dum that ate him. And
yep.
Just, oh, yeah. God. That's not even science fiction. That's just ridiculous.
I'll tell you the most realistic part of Hackers, and it's one that sticks with me to this day.
The 1995 movie?
Yeah, the 1995 movie. What sticks with me to this day is that those that know me know that I have a thing in that place where I put that thing that one time. That's all I have to do is look at them and go, it's in that place where I put that thing that one time. And they know exactly where to go. It's our little hiding place. And it's funny, but I've spoken to other people in the white hat community and such, and they're like, yeah, we all have one of those.
Well, you know, we also need to talk about the criminal aspect. I mean, let's stick with Hollywood for right now.
Okay. Yeah, we're not done talking
about
Hollywood.
Why do you think Hollywood has this almost science fiction-like fascination with what actual computer hacking can do? That instead of showing it realistically, that they would rather make it, you know, say the movie set in 2000. And they're doing shit that we can't do in 2013,
right.
Let alone in 2020 that we're going to be able to do. Why does Hollywood keep going to that? Is it the same self-perpetuating nonsense that, well, I saw it in this movie, so I'm going to copy that?
No.
Or
the best example I can come up with now, and some of the best examples of the same theory, is a lot of very popular Japanese horror movies right now. A lot of very popular Japanese horror movies deal with the cell phone that is possessed. They deal with, you know, you had The Ring, which dealt with an evil videotape. You had, you've got a lot of this stuff where new technology comes out and the Japanese find a way to make it that new technology into a scary, scary horror movie.
Fuck that. Videodrome did it back in 82.
And when it comes to Hollywood, number one, they have to make it exciting, which is why they stick with the fiction aspect, because like I said, real hacking is boring.
It's basically kicking your feet up and eating Doritos.
Right. Or getting on the phone with the right person at the right time or something like that. And it's really, really pretty boring. So Hollywood has to juice it up in order to keep the audience interested. And it's a neat way of kind of explaining what people are trying to do. The earliest example of hacking that came into my brain was Tron. Do you remember when he was using Clue in the tank to try and go through the system?
Yeah.
And he got caught by... That was hacking.
War Games.
War Games is another example of fictional hacking that was out there. You're right. That was, and that was probably actually closer to the truth.
they had a national expert, some high ranking military, ex-Hale military guy on Joe Bob Briggs once.
Right.
When he showed War Games for on a Monster Vision.
Okay.
Well, actually, it would have been a Last Call, but and the guy said, you know what? You might think that this is just pure nonsense. He goes, War Games, I mean, not like some kid hacking into the system. He goes, that kind of shit actually almost happened three separate times where the computer really thought we were under attack and was getting ready to launch nukes. He's like, this isn't as science fiction as you think it is.
Right.
Maybe how it happens in the movie is sci-fi.
Right.
The actual events of the movie are not as science fiction as you think it is when it comes to War Games.
I have a relative and Aunt Sandy, who was pretty high ranked individual in the U.S. Air Force. She reported to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, so she was up there. And one of her jobs in the 80s was keeping an eye on our satellites and using satellites to keep an eye on the North Pole, because if the Soviets were going to launch missiles at us, it was going to be over the North Pole. It's a very weird map of the world. It's a new way of looking at it. But that's one of her. That was one of her jobs, was to be in charge of teams that literally just watched for missiles. And it was you know, talking to her now that the Cold War is over, there's still quite a bit of stuff she's not able to tell me.
Well, yeah.
And so getting stories from her is... can be difficult at times, but she has looked at me and gone, yeah, we were closer to nuclear war than anybody ever thought on more than one occasion.
Yeah. That's all come out. But why do you think then, like, was it also 95 that the net with Sandra Bullock came out?
I think that was actually a little bit later. I think that was
later 90s. Okay. I've only seen the movie once,
but it was, I think it may have been like 96 or just a little bit later.
I actually liked the TV series though.
For what?
The Net.
I never saw it.
Lasted one season. It was a USA Network original.
Yeah. I never saw it.
It wasn't bad. It's got Eric Zamandia from CSI was in it. It wasn't bad, but, I thought the TV series was way better than the movie was. But that movie, I remember when that came out, I believe they were Windows 95 is what most of that movie was using. Yep. Again, I only saw it once when it was new. There were so many people that thought you really could do all the things that are done in that movie. And some of the stuff that's done in that movie can't be done today on today's computers, let alone 90s fucking dial-up computers.
Right.
So... do you think that the public just doesn't realize that that's not what computer hacking really is? That's not really what computers can do? Or do you think they just don't care for the sake of a, in quotes, good story?
I think that, and, you know, I think of my mom using computers. And my mom, when she uses her computer, she has pretty set things she does, nothing too exciting. She enjoys the internet. She likes
the interwebs.
Yeah, she likes the web and stuff like that. But even today, it's difficult for her to get a grasp on everything that a computer can and cannot do.
Partially because movies have influenced her?
Well, not because movies have influenced her, but because this is the information age. And when you're dealing with my mom's generation and my sister's generation, and there's 10 years between my sister and I. But when you and I are really the first generation to come of age in the information age and to grow up getting a grasp on this stuff, on what it can and can't do. And you've got plenty of older generations that they don't know enough about information technology to go, no, that's not possible. And so Hollywood can kind of slip it in and make a buck. And then you've got a younger, you know, you've got the generations behind us who know well enough that this stuff can't be done. But at the same time,
it's kind of entertaining.
It's entertaining. And then there's a lot of stuff that's being done at DARPA and at the NSA and stuff like that that kind of is astounding that... you know, maybe they can do this. hacking cell phones is you know, that's minor. To tell you the truth, when I was in at ITT Tech and stuff, going to school on computer networking, we visited a little shack that was full of computers and stuff that not Verizon but AT&T used, and this was for their landline stuff. And the guy walked over to a machine and he goes, "Yeah, at any time a government official can come in," and he dialed up a home phone number, any home phone number, and turned it up, and we listened to intimate conversations. And he goes, "This is just part of what we're required to do by the police and by, you know, in a post 9/11 world when everybody's terrified of everything, you know, it's
Patriot Act."
Yeah. It's a, well, thank God the Patriot Act's going to be repealed.
Yeah, right. The Patriot Act is more enforced now. That's another topic. Let's talk about the criminal aspect of hacking.
Sure.
Of hacking. Now, a lot of hackers, at least the ones I've met and ones I've seen interviews with on TV and whatnot, they don't consider themselves criminals, even though they're outright breaking the law. They consider themselves like modern day outlaws. I saw one guy in Wired describe himself as a modern day outlaw fighting against unjust laws that keep information secured. And I'm going, you're an idiot. You are not some outlaw. You are. There was even one of those documentaries I showed you.
Yeah.
I don't know if you watched all those.
Yes.
They had a guy calling into some hacking radio show. This is from the 90s. So some hacking radio show. And he's like, "The FBI and the cops are bearing down on me. All I did was rack up thousands of dollars. You know, I freaked some guy's phone and the bill got sent to him. Why are they treating me like this? I'm not a criminal." And the host is like, "Yeah, you are. You racked up thousands of dollars on someone else's bill, and now they've either got to pay it or they've got to get, let's just say for the sake of argument, AT&T to get it off their bill. Then AT&T has to pay it. You still stole.
Yes.
You stole those minutes.
Right.
You're a criminal."
Right.
But this guy's attitude was completely, "I'm not a criminal. Why is the FBI coming at me?"
And that's an old attitude. It's the old 90s adage of information wants to be free. Information that needs to be out there wants to be out there. And there should be no secrets.
Information, I agree with.
And there should be no secrets. And this should be, I mean, there are a lot of people in the hacking community that believed that anarchic.
I believe in WikiLeaks. I think WikiLeaks is a good thing.
Right.
When you are just stealing someone else's cell phone number to rack up their bill so you don't have to pay for it and you use it, that's not information.
That's freaking. That's a criminal
theft.
Act. Yes.
But they don't consider themselves criminals by doing that.
Now, don't speak for all of them, because I'm sure there are those out there that are going, "Yeah, I'm breaking the law. I know I'm breaking the law, but I can. And until somebody finds a way to stop me, then I'm going to continue to do it." You know, it's technically piracy is breaking the law.
That's a different episode.
I know that's a different episode. But, you know, we're going to continue to do it if nobody here does it. But,
no,
you know,
let's deal with the piracy thing real quick.
Sure.
No, because the piracy, at least in I'm assuming you're meaning just, you know, like torrenting and stuff,
right,
kind of piracy. You're not actually taking anything. You're not costing anyone anything. You are copying something.
I know.
And leaving the original intact. No one gets stuck with a bill like with phone freaking.
But I understand. And what I'm saying is most hackers know that they're breaking the law. Most hackers that most phone freakers and stuff that did that, you know, back in the day, yeah, they knew that they were breaking the law. They knew that it was wrong, and they moved on. And that's just the way it was.
Well, and then there was also the fact I can't remember if it was in the Freedom Downtime documentary, if it was a different one, where the one of the hackers, I think it was one of the Legion of Doom guys that got caught, you know, around the same era of, as Mitnick and all that. And he said, you know, we're always talking. I mean, he was basically just being totally down to earth. He was like, we were always talking about, oh, man, we're such badasses. We're outlaws. Yeah. He goes, my first week in prison, I was raped 3 times and I had both my legs broken by real criminals. We are not prepared to be in the prison system. Yeah. You are not some outlaw. You are going to get fucked up.
Yes.
When you get caught, you know, you see all these hackers going, hey, man, the FBI going to get me, man. I'm going to show them. No, you're going to get Bubba sticking his dick in your ass your first week in prison.
And I'm telling you that that is not the attitude of the majority.
Those are the vocal. So those are the ones vocal, that yes. you see. Those are the ones in the media spotlight. So to the mainstream, they are speaking for the community.
They're also in the media spotlight because, one, they're willing to be, which is stupid on its own. Two,
again, bragging like we talked
about. Two, remember when we went out to shoot the crowd or to, you know, find the tornado victim or something, we always looked for the craziest woman we could who was, you know, had 38 cats and her hair in curlers and
the big noise, it just came down to it. Whoosh! And then God taked it up.
Yeah, or in the case of Detroit and such, you know, the ones that ain't got time for that. You know, we're
ain't
always
got no time for that.
We, you know, that's the stuff that the media is looking for. The media is looking for the crazies in order to entertain their audience. The vast majority of hackers we have not heard from. And
those are the real hackers, I think. The ones that are actually sticking by their ideals,
yes.
maybe. Yes. I mean, you know, I'm kind of questioning Mark in that one, kind of. Whether they're criminals or not, that's not the debate. It's the fact that, okay, first of all, criminals are always stupid. When is someone going to realize that bragging about your crime is pretty much a foolproof way of getting caught?
And I hate to say it, but in the hacking community, we encourage those that brag about their crime to brag about their crime. Please, please, no, tell everyone and their brother, because guess what?
But see, like I brought up earlier, that's the thing about the hacking community. You're only as good as your last freak, your last hack. And how do you raise your status? You got to brag about it.
No, you don't. Not anymore. You don't. The way you do it now is you simply release the information you find using things like WikiLeaks and those nice little anonymous
things.
Assuming
we're just talking information.
Yeah, and most hackers don't want to brag about what they do because that's stupid. That's how you get caught.
One of those articles I was reading on hacking. And then when I say anonymous here, I don't mean anonymous the group. The guy chose to remain anonymous.
Someone remaining anonymous, yes.
He's like, do you remember that big telephone blackout in like 1990, whatever it was, across L.A.? He goes, I caused that. I moved the wrong file. That was my fault. And he genuinely seemed like he felt bad that,
sure,
that was me. I fucked up. I fucked up. You don't see that too often. That usually it's more, I did that, not, oh shit,
that's
I did that.
The ones that are doing, I did that, you know, those are the ones that are script kiddies. Those are the ones that haven't
they're
really,
looking to make a name.
They're looking to make a name for themselves, which is dumb, because I can tell you those that are really active in the hacking community are quiet, with the exception of
Anonymous.
I'm not even going to talk about it. Anonymous has kind of become a political hacktivist rather than just a group of hackers.
I'm sure read about what happened to the guy who associated with Anonymous, who broke the Steubenville rape case video, right? You heard about how he got fucked, right?
No.
The FBI has now arrested him for hacking in and getting all the evidence that the FBI needed to get the Steubenville rapists.
Uh-huh.
He's looking at almost three times as much jail time as the actual rapists. That to me is fucked up on so many levels.
And I'm curious to see how that plays out, because he is technically a criminal because he broke in, but
it's because the police in Steubenville did not want to investigate.
Right.
But then here's the one thing, and I know I can say that comfy from your chair walking around free. I have a feeling he's going to pussy out and cut a deal.
I have no doubt he will.
And I wish somebody would fucking stand up and go, no, a point has to be fucking made. And like I said, I know I'm sitting comfy right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, but when you've got the penis of Bubba bearing down on your butthole, it's, you know, the,
how many,
it's,
you know me when it comes to integrity. I actually would be really reticent to cut a deal. I you know me, I'm itching for a fight. If would happen, that's the kind of shit I'm after.
You're a rarity.
I'm after that. I'm looking for a fight.
Thank God. But
Hey.
But the
check that shit, boy.
But yeah, you've got a lot to think about here, and you've got a lot to really consider with when it comes to hackers and when it comes to hacking. I can tell you that the vocal ones are not the ones that are really making a difference. I mean,
they're just attention whores.
They're attention whores. They want to make a name for themselves. Maybe they want that job offer. Who knows? But the vocal ones are not.
But let's see, like Kevin Mitnick had, you know, and this is on the same, I'm not changing the topic. Kevin Mitnick had a great quote. I can't remember if it was pre or post arrest, but about just what you're talking about. The best hack in the world is when you don't know you've been hacked.
Yeah, the best hack in the world is the one that nobody sees.
Exactly. So when you know you've been hacked, when you're bragging about it, when you're like, hey, I just broke into Verizon, that's not a good hack.
Right.
They need, the best hack is when you've got the information, like when he stole all those telecommunications documents and no one even knew they were gone until they showed up on the internet.
Right, right.
Or the BBS system, technically.
The BBSs at the time. Or, you know, the time when I accidentally shut off cell phone service in Southern Florida during the election of 2000.
Oops. I hacked the voting machine.
Actually, no, it was 2004. Because, I was working for the microwave radio company, and I dropped a wrench into a power box, and it bridged the circuit and shut off.
Hey, since you are a descendant from apes, you literally dropped a monkey wrench?
So
what?
Yeah.
Is that worse than my Freud joke?
Yes. I literally dropped a wrench into a power box and bridged the circuit and shut off power to all of the microwave cellular backbone for Florida. And I'm listening to public radio while I'm working, and I drop the wrench and I hear zoot, click, click, click. And I'm like, oh no, oh no. And on the radio, they're like, and we've got blah in Florida covering this. And he's giving his report via cell phone. And I hear this click on my end. And at about 3 seconds later, he just goes, blah, 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 blah. Well, we seem to have lost that connection. Oh, damn it.
Son of a butt fucker.
Exactly. That wasn't really a hack. That was just a fuck up on my part. But
yeah. Lot of fingers.
Yeah. And.
But like, okay, what would you like to see the hackers actually become? Do you think that they're just going to keep getting worse than they are? Because you see more and more of these braggarts, these attention whores. You see them coming out of the woodwork more, to the point where I think this is actually going to get worse. And I don't mean the actual hacking. I mean the community.
No, I hope that these braggarts and that these little brats really do continue to come out of the woodwork. And I hope they continue to brag. And I hope they continue to
get
raise.
Caught.
I hope they continue to keep everyone's attention off of me.
Let's see. I don't think you're a hacker when your wife and I had to tell you that we'd been using malware bytes for years to fix your fucking computer.
No, you're not.
Computer whiz you think you are, buddy boy.
I'm not. But, you know, but what I like to see, what I do think is a positive thing, is hacktivism as being real. And that is using
hacking. I think
hacking,
if you're doing it
using
for
hacking,
altruistic reasons.
Yes,
yes.
Yes.
I agree.
Using hacking as a way of political protest or anything like that, I think is the way that we need to go. And I hope to see that continuing.
Wouldn't it be funny if somebody hacked that new Tumblr you set up, which I've never even been to because I don't even know what a Tumblr is. To me, that's what you put rocks in. And
uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Tell people about it. That was supposed to be a setup, you dumb shit.
Tumblr is a place where we can share pictures and posts and text and stuff like that without the restrictions of Facebook.
I can show tits?
Yeah.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, you can post whatever you want there. And
cell phone picture of my cock coming right up.
And it's a Tumblr that I want the fans or our listeners to be involved with. I want, you know, pictures of you guys up there, whatever. If you're a cosplayer, I'd love to see you in your latest costume. I'd love to see artwork that we get, you know, we get sent artwork quite often.
Yep.
And I'm going to post some of that, and we're going to run out of time before I can play the bump here, but I want to see people doing this and being part of it. But I'll tell you what, we are a production of 1201 Beyond. I can't. We're out of time. No, I can't. It's not going to play. There's no point. We're completely out of time. Go to 1201
Beyond. You realize all the time that you're yelling that we're out of time, we could have fucking played the bumper.
Goodbye, everybody. We'll talk to you later.
Hack!